Drive Phoenix FM with me, Joe Bailey, and my guest today sitting opposite. We've also got the lovely Nikki Hayes as well in today, taking some photographs. I've told him no side profiles, please. Anyway, back to our guest today, Mark Jones and Simon Compton, authors of the Amazon bestseller, The Accidental Manager. Welcome back, boys.
Hiya.
How are you doing?
All good.
We're good. Thank you again for having us on, Joe, again. It was great last time. We're very happy to be here.
The book, it's uplifting. There's a lot going on with it. Can you give people an insight? If someone's listening for the first time and just wants an idea about what the book's about. Mark?
It's basically our journey through youth football. All the stories that are in it are what we've experienced in youth football. Mm. The highs, the lows, being a manager, being a parent, and dealing with the kids, dealing with the parents. It's all about our journey.
Also, what we tried to do was raise some of the issues and the challenges that all football managers and all football parents probably come across all the time. And so it's sort of more looking at some of the problems that we have in the junior game. Yeah. And there are a lot of them. But combined with our own experiences. So all the stories in there are first-hand experiences.
Because a little bit about your background as well, so that gives it more gravitas. So Simon, I'll start with you. That's right.
I've got two sons, and my eldest son took an interest in football quite late. And I think, like we said last time, Mark was running a team at that point. So I asked if my son, Alex, could come along and train, and before I knew it I was involved, and before I knew it there were several teams at that age group, and suddenly I was managing a team. So it genuinely was a case of the accidental manager.
Like
most managers in the junior football world will testify, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you was obviously
very similar. My son, he started playing when he was for as long as I can remember. From 6 years of age he joined the team, and the guy started running the team, needed a bit of help. Me being me, said, yeah, I'll help. And then within 2 years, I was basically running the team, because, the other guy had older sons as well. That sort of went from there all the way up to, so I was running the team for sort of 8.5 years. Yeah. And, it was great, but it's just challenging, as anybody that runs a team knows.
Yes, so it was the insight of all the book and all the sort of things you see, because the book is uplifting as well. As people like with kids like listening in now, that have or still are playing football, can relate to the joy that the kids have when they're in a team and having a kick about, right, in a football team. Yeah, then you then sort of like have the flip side of youth football and describe as well some of the horrors within the game that I think a lot of parents see and they don't even speak about sometimes as well, right?
Oh, I completely agree. It becomes normalised. I think that was why we wrote the book, because we both had to look at ourselves and realise that for many years we'd been part of the problem as much as anything else. Yeah. We'd accepted things that really shouldn't be accepted and would not be accepted in any other sport, any other environment, particularly around children. And that was I think, what made us write the book. Just that fact that we've all become so used to such poor behaviour around children, environment. And I think we said last time, it wouldn't be accepted in any other walk of life, any other sport. It would just, you'd be arrested if you did half the things that you see every single week around football pitches on a Sunday morning. It's terrible, really.
Well, that was the thing, wasn't it? What was it, August, was it, boys? When you actually released it during last summer, wasn't it?
May.
Was it May?
Came out in May, didn't it? I think we came on in July, end of July.
It's gone so quick. Like I say, you've had really rave reviews on this as well, and you've had some lovely messages as well from people, haven't you, as well?
Yeah, we have. It has been really good. I mean, we've kind of excelled on the selling side. Because not just the actual copies of the book, the e-book as well, was done really well. I mean, it got to, we was number one in football books on Amazon for a few days, wasn't it? In the end, so which is
on the e-books,
was pretty good achievement for us too.
We've never read a book before.
Let
alone write one.
But no, as for every good review that people put and how good the book is. It comes back to that relatable people can relate to the things that we've experienced ourselves and people who experience up and down the country, which you kind of look at and you think, that's just wrong, you know. Simon will touch on it in a bit, but trying to push things further, trying to get in contact with people to try and change things, but it's not as easy as...
It's quite amazing, really, when we've had some of the feedback. It's been so wonderful, actually, the positive messages. Yeah. We can honestly say, can't we? Look, there's not been a single negative comment about a book. It's lovely that they think it was good, but at the same time, it's disturbing the fact that we all recognise all over the country, and we've had messages from the South Coast up to Scotland where everyone says the same thing. I can relate to this. I've had that situation happen. I know a parent like that. I know this thing is happening all the time, and it's horrible. But it's still happening. Another season's gone by, and I think you only have to look at the Twitter posts and all the other posts going on at the moment. It's getting worse.
Well, I did have a little Google, actually. Now, I will look. I did make a note here. And the first thing came up was like a football match where a 14-year-old boy was kicked in the shins by a spectator. Now, it's an adult over 60, and this happened really just up the road in Hertfordshire, really, you know. And these things are happening still all the time, isn't it? So I think what I got from when you came here last time, it was mainly about governance and how to govern these games, because you can't blame the ref ultimately, because, you know, who'd want to be a ref, to be fair? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Shout out to all the refs if anyone's listening in. So where have we got regarding kind of the code of conduct? Because that's where really we wanted to find out what's what, because it seemed a bit disjointed. Now, I know the FA did say, because I have it here, that they have robust measures in place to protect kids and deal with incidents. They have said that, haven't they?
They have said that to us. I think when we were here last time, we had just started trying to contact our local Essex FA to try and establish the measures they have in place. And that's when they were saying they've got these robust procedures in place. And I think all we've ever asked for is, okay, that's fine. Can we see the results of these existing code of conducts? I think to us, we're worried that the code of conducts that are in place already aren't being followed. They're not being implemented. Okay. So as a result, if we can just see some stats, so we can see how many parents, how many actual parents have been banned or fined, and all the things that should be happening when these problems are happening. Unfortunately, we've still not been able to get that information, and it's just gone on, well, since last time. I mean, how long ago was that? 6, 7, 8 months, and we've not even got to the point where we can see what's happening at the moment. So all we've ever asked for is, can we just see how these robust measures are working out in the real world, and we can go from there. We did get some feedback from them. We were on another radio, we were on BBC Essex, and after many, many attempts to try and get some information about the code of conduct, they did provide an official statement. I think that's when they said about the robust procedures, and they referred to this code of conduct disciplinary report, which was going to be the first of its type, a very big thing, and that was going to give us that information that we wanted. We didn't really hear anything back since, but then I think in December, just 3 days before Christmas, they released this official report, and it referred to it being about junior football. I looked at the report, and I think we could both see that we're not sure if that does include junior football. It was grassroots review, but I don't think it included junior football. We asked the question to Essex FA. They said it did. We asked the same question to numerous other county FAs. They either didn't know or they just ignored it completely. London FA, in fairness, did come back and immediately said no, it didn't include junior football. Essex FA are still maintaining it does, but then they won't give us a breakdown, because I think what we've said is, if it did include junior football, can we just get a breakdown so we can see? Because there's a lot of minute detail within this.
Sure.
You know, they refer to the type of offence, whether it's racism, sexism, discrimination. So there's a lot of things that it does include, so it would be very, very easy to separate for age groups, but they won't provide it, which makes me think that London FA were correct. But I think there's a big disconnect between the national FA and these county FAs, because if they have not even heard of this report, which was relied on in previous communications, then there's a serious concern going on, because there's no governance, there's no trail between the two, between national FA and county FAs.
Yes.
And it's a shame, because we're not getting anywhere. And in the meantime, another season's gone by when we're seeing more problems than ever before. And if we can't even accept there's a problem, you can't fix it, can you?
So if we go back to basics, Simon, right, and you think, OK, so you're at a match, you got the game going on, like especially you, Mark, as well, as you've been involved in this. What is the process now for the reporting system? If there's a youth game, not the grassroots, if a youth game, you've got the kids playing, there's been an incident, what do you have to actually, how do you report that, and how does it go through the system? Is there a missing link within that, do you think? Or
maybe, because I suppose that when we was doing it, if there was ever a problem, you'd go to your welfare officer.
Yeah.
Report it to your welfare officer. But then, yeah, kind of, I don't really know. It's that transition from the welfare officer, obviously, to your club, that I suppose they've got to contact the team you're playing against if there was a problem with a spectator or something like that. And then it would maybe get together, go to the FA. I don't actually know that bit.
I think what should happen is that you'd report it to the club. The club would then report it to the child welfare officer. I think what would, and then the club would report it to the county FA, the Essex FA in this instance.
Right.
I think the problem you've got is that in the end, because there was no actual
procedures, essentially. There was no procedures, is that what you're saying?
I can speak personally. When we were managing teams, in the end, we wouldn't even bother to report anything, because we'd know that if you're lucky, it'll take 3 or 4 months for a team to get a £10 fine. You know, so there was no real point in... And that's the problem, because everyone doesn't bother in the end, do they?
Yeah, so it's a circle then. That's what you're saying then, really,
I think it's kind of... If you sort of report something, it's more work for someone to do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that work at the clubs. They have a lot. They spend a lot of their time, and it's all free time. We understand that, but there's certain things that are more important. I mean, we write about in the book. It's called My Worst Performance, and that's about me. And there was an incident. I wasn't a victim, but I overreacted on something. But I was goaded. My wife was threatened. When I went to the club about it, they didn't want to know.
God.
It was basically, we're going to, don't bother, let's just leave this, you know what I mean, because it's going to be, whether it will reflect bad on the club, I don't know. And that's the other thing, if you're reporting a team that's constantly reporting, are you going to look like that team that no one really wants to play against, get involved with, because you run the risk of, excuse me.
No, you're right. So basically, there's no governance, no procedures in place, really, for what it should be, for what it is in a lot of things, for you to be able to then feel... For you to be able to feel that you could do that. So basically, what I'm trying to get at as well, there's a lot of stuff that's not being reported that should be as well. So the figures that you might get hold of, boys, might not even be the full picture anyway.
I can't think of anything in 8.5 years that was reported in playing, and we see some stuff. Some of them stories that have been about there quite tight.
I think it goes back to the code of conduct thing. The reason why I suspect the county FAs don't want to provide this information is because they'll be woefully small, the figures. Yet we all know this is happening week in, week out. So that will prove that whatever's in place at the moment just isn't working. And probably also that, like we said earlier, we're not reporting it. Because why report something if it's not going to actually result in any action being taken?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to play a track. You wanted a track, didn't you? I've got it here, thanks to Cameron. So what one is it, Mark?
Yeah, we had a little bit of a dispute. It was a dance between a couple of dance tunes. Big Just helped us out. He's kind of had the final say.
Yeah.
It was Kariah, Let Me Love You For Tonight.
Dedicated to all the Essex boys and girls out there.
/ Volunteer. Right, we're back here on Phoenix FM Drive with me, Joe Bailey, and the boys, Mark Jones and Simon Compton of authors, I should say, of the Amazon Best bestseller, The Accidental Manager. Welcome back again, boys.
Thanks,
Joe. So listen, we was getting really kind of stuck into all the things that you're really passionate about. But the other thing really that shows your passion is the book, because you speak of the title Decide Us that's happened somewhere in Essex. You really paint a wonderful picture of all the positives within the game as well. So the book isn't just all about the code of conducts. It's also about just the wonderful stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Originally, the book was about that. I think the follow-up has probably been because of the feedback we've had as much as anything else, and it's become more of an issue with the code of conducts and trying to improve the junior game so that it's a safer place and a more enjoyable place for the children. But if we actually strip it back to where it started, it was all about the actual football, and we're both massive football fans and absolutely love it. And the good times with the kids over the years, it was fantastic. You know, I had such a great group of lads. I never got involved in female, girls football, but I love what's happening on that side of it as well. Never experienced that, but it's. I have got a daughter now, so maybe one day, we'll see.
There you go. The next chapter.
Yeah, I'll be too old by then. But the good times are really good. If you take away a lot of the adults from it, the actual children are amazing children. I've always said that the kids nowadays are better than the kids when we were young, I think. They're great young people. They've got a lot of pressures nowadays. And I think they cope with it really well. And we had a great group all the time. And some of the times, the trips to Holland, I always remember those, and the cup finals, what could be better. But also the fact they stuck with it. Even when we were rubbish, they stuck with us. And my son has still got so many friends that are in that team. I had a couple of them around the other day for dinner, and this is 5 years on. So football is the beautiful game. If it's done right, it's wonderful, I would say. And I'm sure Mark would say the same.
100%. Yeah, 100%. The kids were the easy bit, really.
Yeah.
Coaching the kids, like I say, getting them away from TV, computer screens, phones, kicking a ball about. That's what it should be about, getting out in the fresh air, getting some exercise as well. It's all good.
Seeing the confidence grow, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I don't think there's anything better than, because you get these teams. I mean, my team, I sort of was pretty much a core team all the way through, from six up till, some of them played up until I was 18, whatever, still in the same team. And that was the good thing about it. We was kind of an okay team in League One, probably sort of bottom half. And then it's just the progression of them, seeing them progress as players as well and turn into young men and everything like that. It is a sense of achievement from our part as well. It's a sense of pride. And you become very protected of them as well, You almost become like a father to 15, if you like. That is the good side of it.
I think that's the best bit of all, when now they're adults and still being able to have that relationship where you see them and now they're in pubs and they can buy you a pint.
It's
great. Yeah, no, I won't go that far. Yeah, we still have to buy the pints.
It's great when they come round and they start telling me stories about which I've missed on the training ground. They tell me stories that have happened, and I'm like, I didn't even know that happened, sort of thing. And I'm glad
I didn't know some of them stories happened. I think in the book we write about a chapter when we was in Holland, and they had an unorganised night in town. I'm just so glad I didn't know that at the time.
But you've also had messages, haven't you, from parents and mums especially, right?
Yeah, we've had some really nice feedback, and it's been quite sad really, because we've had some feedback where it's not so much about the county FAs, it's more managers within clubs.
Right.
So you've actually, I've had several parents contact me where they're really they're very upset, and they've seen the book and they've seen the general principles behind the book and what we're trying to say, and they're massively behind it. They've offered to help, and they've contacted their local FAs, whether it be, I think there's a couple in the Midlands up north, that sort of thing. But what is a shame is you've still got managers that are doing things really badly wrong, and it's impacting on young people. And I've spoken to mums where their daughter or their son has been treated very badly. Suddenly he's deemed not to be good enough to be in that team, so the next thing he's not allowed to go anymore, or he's been asked to leave the club, and just things that shouldn't be happening. And I don't think it would happen if the club had some sort of governance around that. you know, rather than individual, and this is the way it was when we were managing individual managers within clubs. There's no consistency, there's no code of conduct within that.
So it needs to come from above.
It needs to come from above because there's no monitoring. I think we said last time there's no monitoring of managers within clubs.
Yeah, so it depends what team and what area as well.
Some clubs are brilliant, don't get me wrong. They're fantastic. They will insist on standards throughout the club, and they wouldn't accept that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Other clubs, and I think our experiences were like this. It was a free-for-all. You might have 25 teams, 25 different managers, all of which have got a completely different way of doing things, some of which really aren't right. So
where we've got to then, you've not got the FA then, you don't think, has given a code of conduct. They've got it for grassroots football, but they haven't got it for youth football. Is that where we're at?
Well, we don't know for sure. Essex FA, the last contact I had from them was they were claiming that this annual thing that was the first of its kind, which was a massive thing at the time, they were saying that it did include children's football, whereas other FAs just didn't have, they literally didn't know. Other FAs just ignored us. And then London FA, who seemed to be most on the ball from our experiences, said that no, it didn't. It only included up to the age of 16, I think they said. So when county FAs don't even know,
missing link there.
What this code of conduct, what this disciplinary report actually referred to, then how can we even go anywhere from that point?
Because seems like a simple fix, though, doesn't it, really? Just
if you don't know what who the report covers, then it's terrible, really. But we're trying, and I will keep trying to make contact. But we're getting used to being ignored by now. We actually got our MPs involved. It became so serious. And what we learned along the way was we can't just do a freedom of information request because they're not public bodies, so they don't have to give that information out. So unfortunately, we'll have to go back to the MPs and say, can you please go back to them and ask them to clarify the position?
So, you'll have to come back again, boys, by the sound of it, to be fair. And, what you're going to do next? Another book as well? Or
we're thinking of doing an audio book.
Yeah. Oh, nice one.
But that'll be us two talking, so we're not too sure.
It'll probably take us about a year to
produce.
If you need anyone shouting in the background, you know to call on, don't you?
Yeah.
A documentary would be good.
We'd love to do a documentary. Yeah. That'd be interesting if we can get it right back in. And we'd love podcast would be good because what we have seen is so many people up and down the country that are interested in this and involved in it. Yeah, tens of millions. So many kids are playing football, and we all share the same experiences. So it'd be great to get a podcast and get some guests in. And we've got a few footballers that would probably be involved, but then just your everyday people, mums and dads and coaches all over the country, because there's a lot of good people out there.
Totally.
I don't want to moan all the time
and
pretend it's all bad. It's not. There's some really good people.
There's more good people than bad people.
Yeah.
Of course, But if the basics would have been in place from the start, then, well, you wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't know you. Let's look at the positives of it. So, anyway, boys, where can we get hold of you if anyone wants to contact you, or just on your socials would be fine?
The best place is to buy the book. It's theaccidentalmanager.uk. And in terms of contacting us, it's probably the email address inquiries@theaccidentalmanager.co.uk. I think that's right.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Listen, Mark and obviously Simon, thanks so much, boys.
Thank you.
You have to come back again at the end of the year on end next year.
Thank you, Joe.
Much.
It's been an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
See you later, boys. We'll have a quick Stray Cat Strut. Ashley, rock this town. I'll see you after the news for the second hour of Drive.